Welcome, everybody, to the Human Values Podcast. Today, it's our second episode, and we're here with you and so happy to share more of our experiences, our knowledge, and our hearts with you. Today, we have with us some of my friends. We have Melody over here. How are you doing, Melody?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And Victoria just got a new plant today. How is that new baby of the family?
The new Frizzle Sizzle. Hey everyone, is named Miss Frizzle, picked out by my lovely girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, doing well, I think.
You think?
I hope. She's in the kitchen, so I hope she's doing well in that light, in the kitchen light.
Awesome. And last but not least, we have Javier over here. How was your day, Javier?
Oh, my day was awesome. I'm ready for a revolution.
For the revolution. All right, everybody. And so we have at the beginning of each episode, so you get used to it, we have our bits and bobs. And
bits and bobs, bits and bobs, bits and bobs, bits and bobs.
Where we tell you any announcements or where to follow us. So you can follow us on Instagram as at Human Values Club. Also on Facebook, we're the Human Values Club. On Twitter as well, at Human Values Club. And if you want to send us an email, if you want to send us any comment, please email us to humanvaluesclub@gmail.com. Again, humanvaluesclub@gmail.com. Send us anything, any a love message. You can send us some jokes. You can send us some comments about the podcast. Anything that you want to share with us. So that's that. And if you have any questions for us, you can do that as well in the email. All right, so I'm going to introduce what we're talking about today before we go into a meditation. So get ready for that. First of all, we'll be talking about perspectives, different perspectives on online learning from as students, as teachers, as administrators. Each one of us is one of those things. And so we're talking about how we're doing with online learning, how it's going, the good things and the challenging things, and then also how do we practice self-care in all of those areas. So a lot of good things coming up. I'm excited for this conversation we're gonna have. And just happy to be here with you. So if you, listener and my friends over here, if you can find a comfortable position to sit, if you're in the bed listening to us, or if you're in the couch, or wherever you are walking, you can just find a comfortable position. And close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And just notice your breath. Notice how fast or how slow it is. And then just imagine a little candlelight in front of your forehead. And we're gonna imagine that this candlelight goes into our head, shines a light in our brain, in our eyes, the rest of our head, down through our throats, into our chest. Let it shine on your chest and warm it up. Make sure it covers your torso, and then go down through your pelvis area, your legs, down to your feet, and let's thank our feet for taking us to good places. And yes, let's go back and move this light up to your arms and into our hands, and feel the warmth in your hands as you bring this light to your hands. Let's thank our hands for helping us to do everything we do every day. If you're a musician, if you're someone who uses your hands as part of your work, let's thank our hands. All right, and then bring this light back to your chest. And this week or next week, if you're feeling overwhelmed, or if you're feeling like you need a little lift up, or if you feel like you want some company, just go back to this little light in the middle of your chest, where you can always draw energy from. That's our source of energy. Let's take a deep breath in and breathe out. And slowly start to move your body like a dog waking up from a nap. And stretch whatever you want to stretch. And open your eyes slowly back to this moment. And into today. Right here with the Human Values Podcast. Thank you for listening to us. This is our first meditation with you. We do a lot of different meditations, but this is a little version of a light meditation. If you are interested in that, check our YouTube page, which has a lot of meditations, most of them by our friend Javier. And yes, or just listen to our podcast and you'll get a meditation for free. So I think we are ready to get into it. Our lovely Melody is going to have some spicy questions for us.
Ooh, spicy.
Spicy. I like spicy.
Ooh.
Me too.
Welcome, me friends three. And listeners, also friends. Episode 2. I'm really excited to be here. And I wanted to open with a quote by an anonymous human being. I kind of found it from a podcast episode by Brené Brown, she's an American professor, lecturer, and author. And in this episode, she spoke with Sonia Renee Taylor, who's also an author and a poet. And they kind of opened with the story of how they found each other. And it was just Brené Brown was online scrolling through, I think it was Instagram, and she found a quote by her, but it wasn't by her. She read it and she's like, I didn't say that. And so she contacted Sonia and was like, please help me, like, put this down or like change, because I don't know if this is legal to have something that's not actually by me. Anyway, it was a really powerful quote, so I just wanted to share it with all of you. We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal, other than our normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We've been given the opportunity to stitch a new garment that fits all of humanity and nature. That being said, I would like to open the floor to anybody who wants to jump in with this question. How have you had to, as a teacher, student, or administrator, how have you had to change your views or your behaviors or your strategies in the classroom or in your work to fit the new normal, as we refer to it?
Yes. I'm just fired to go ahead. Thank you for that quote. I think I remember hearing about that instance. And now people just put quotes of other people, like anyone can do a quote and say like, oh, it was by this person. So I remember that incident with Brené Brown. But yes, for me right now as an administrator of after school youth orchestra program, we had to, with students that go to a public school, we totally had to change, I mean, move everything online. So on my part, it was a lot of creative thinking and a lot of like, oh my God, how do we do this? Mm. How am I going to make it this happen? How am I going to communicate with everyone what they're supposed to do? So I know it was a lot of like, yeah, I felt I was just like building something with Legos. You know, I was just creating something from nowhere. And I just, I just like started in this job a few months ago, and then was like, okay, just do an online thing. And it was really stressful. But also I realized that some students are more comfortable online, and some students who were not attending a lot of classes in person were like in class online every time. And so, I can speak more about it after, so some of you can talk, but yes, definitely like creating out of the nothing and making up what I thought was gonna work. And some of it worked really well. We had a great summer program, and some of it didn't work. And it's still hard. Mm-hmm. You feel like it's hard to communicate with the students, because I can just like send emails or texts or calls, but I'm like, I think it has been challenging for me, like the communication part, that before I just saw the students and I tell them, hey, remember you have to come tomorrow to class. But right now it's more difficult communicating with everyone. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that the idea of space is so different. And, you know, in the previous incarnation of school where everyone comes into one building, it's kind of like the students are in, you know, you could say your space, right? If it's your classroom, or you can say the school's space with the, when they're in the building. But it was this thing of like your students are coming into this space that's not theirs. And now there's still a little bit of this feeling virtually. They're coming into a room, quote unquote. But it's, they're still inhabiting their own space. So whether teachers or administrators like it or not, students have ownership over their own space. And that was kind of the thing that I started thinking of early on, you know, and here in Chicago, schools shut down mid-March. And kind of one of my early thoughts of how this is changing and how this is different is students having the autonomy. And I know one big thing that's an issue is like the camera and the mute button. And you know, Melody, I would love your perspective as a student on this, and we've had previous conversations, and you know, your perspective is very valuable. But my initial thoughts of this were, you know, we're right away getting, you know, basically instructions like students are expected to have their cameras on at all times, you know, they're expected to contribute, basically like this big desire to keep it the same. And it kind of it brings me back to that quote that you read for us, Melody, a beautiful quote of like, we want it to be the same where the education is on our terms, on the terms of the educational system, the administration, or the teacher. Right, but it's like, because the students are in their own space and they have the control over their technology, it really is this kind of interesting equalization of power in a way, of like, if the student just doesn't want to turn their camera on, doesn't want to turn their microphone on,
it's not going to happen.
What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do about it? You know, there's nothing really that you can do. And just like the earliest things I started to see in reaction to these mandates was a lot of teachers, you know, saying like, you don't know, you know, and especially kind of like, I will repeat, I've been repeating of like taking cues from, you know, teachers of color, Black teachers, especially Black women teachers, you don't know what's going on in these kids' houses.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know, like, I don't know, you know, Victoria, Andrea, if you had that experience of like, you know, a student has their microphone muted and then like they unmute it and then you just hear this noise and chaos in the background and you're just like, whoa, okay, that's why they don't have their mic on.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot now of students who just has her little sister with her because for whatever reason, I don't know, parents are at work or not there. She has to take care of her sister. Her little sister's in our class now, you know, and like is participating in our class, you know, but
new friends.
It's she's adorable. And she's like, Camila Cabello, you know, like giving us song requests to play in class. But yeah, you don't know what's going on at home. You don't know if students are embarrassed at like what their room looks like or, you know, that what they're wearing. Like there's just like a million reasons and
privacy too.
And privacy. Well. Yeah. We love our privacy, but, and I think it comes back to me and I'll stop talking. But of like seeing students as full human beings rather than as property or as, you know, these little humans that have to follow our instructions. Mm-hmm. Like it's about teaching them, not about making them comply. And, you know, I can go on and on. There's a lot of other stuff that I'm thinking about equitable grading practices. And like, you know, the good thing about my school is, in terms of turning in assignments late and things like that, there's like, you can't take points off of an assignment if they turn it in late, like, you know. So I've like, all of these things that I've been thinking about are kind of now like, okay, now the district is saying to do these things when I'm like,
right,
okay,
you've been thinking about it for years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did we have to get a pandemic to make things more equitable or culturally appropriate or all of these things. So that's kind of where I'm coming from there. There's a lot more I could talk more, but I think I'll make some space.
Javi, I find it interesting. I mean, just from the perspective of a student and the idea of like what conceptualizing what space is now and also coming to terms with the reality of it. And Victoria and I spoke about this earlier today of it's different when you're in the mindset of, okay, now I'm going to school, so you get ready and you leave and you get there and now you're in a new space. And so your mind is there and your body is there compared to you're still in your room or you're still at your house with maybe five other siblings and your mom is in the kitchen cooking or whatever's happening. Some children are from really terrible households, like who knows what's happening at their houses, and they have to switch based on looking at the screen. Like now I'm in class, but I'm actually still in bed, or I'm actually like in my living room, whatever it is. And to me, like, that's a challenging thing, because, and also thinking about what it's going to look like after all of this ends, like how, when we do come back in person, whenever that will be, how we have to adjust how we communicate or how we transition in our minds, moving from the different parts of our lives to school, back at home. And I think what's most challenging as a student is the idea that there is still a small expectation to do the normal thing, like, okay, let's try to be normal, let's try to open schools and learn with the same way we did before. And I think we need to completely drop that expectation. Like, it needs to we need to take it and burn it and allow it to die completely, and we need burn to go it. In with a new energy and a new fresh perspective of how can we make this work differently. Because I think, if anything, the thing that's suffering the most right now is people's emotional and mental health with all of it. And absolutely. I was speaking with a coworker of mine at work on my on-campus job, and she was sharing how, like, our kids really, do they really understand what's happening? Like, we're in a pandemic, and they have to go to school on their computer. Like, are they able, and also are they able to voice how they're going through, like how they're perceptualizing and how they're feeling what's happening? Are they able to express that? Like, if their mom asked them, how are you today? And they say, oh, I'm fine. Or how's school? How's online school? And they're like, oh, it's okay. But is that really what they're feeling? And
are they really okay?
And are they given the tools to express that, to communicate that? Mm-hmm. And we might have a generation of kids who, like, if we don't take care of them in the best way possible at this time, we're in trouble. Like, it's either we come out stronger from this pandemic or we come out in a big fat mess. And I think those are things to think about. Victoria, what are your thoughts as a teacher?
Oh, so many.
And human being.
Teacher, human being, struggling. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about, you know, while you were talking about like space and transitioning spaces, we were talking about this earlier, and how it's so difficult without even realizing how difficult it is to switch into student mode or to switch into an admin mode or to switch into like my teacher mode when we're in the same place for a lot of things, for hanging out with friends, for meetings, for whatever, family mm-hmm. gatherings via Zoom, birthday parties. and I remember at the beginning of all of this, we couldn't see our students for like a couple weeks because nobody knew what to do. Like, they shut down the schools and we were just like, what do we do? And I also work at an after school music program. So I remember just being like worried, period. Just like worried about everything, worried about the kids, worried about their safety, worried about everyone else's safety. And when we were finally able to see the kids, like, the last thing on my mind was music. You know what I mean? Like, I remember just logging in and just being like, can we just like not think about what we're going to teach them or how we're going to teach them? I just want to, like, I'm like barely coming to terms with what is happening in the world. And like, you know, people are still getting shot by the police for no reason. And people are still dying from COVID because people won't wear masks. Like, how, like, and this was at the beginning of quarantine, you know, this was like a month and a half in. And it was just like, can we just like see them? Can we just like hear their voices? Can we just be on a Zoom call? And even if they're muted and their video's off, can we just like be together as human beings, not like teacher, student, admin, teacher, like, what's going on, you know? So that was a lot for me to have to handle. And then also just thinking about how the students are handling it was just like that other weight on every teacher's shoulders at that point was just like, like, this is something that they don't teach you in your education courses in college. This is something that you don't learn in student teaching unless you were there during, you know, a plague. But
how, like, to teach in a pandemic.
Right. Like, it was just so, how to navigate that was, it was like Andrea said, like having a bunch of things that, you know, a bunch of Lego pieces, different colors, different, you know, sizes. And like, all right, what can I build with this? Can I make a building? Can I make a vehicle? Can I make a castle? Like, so that was basically how teaching felt. And being someone who is not technologically savvy, made up a new phrase, technologically, that was also a like whole other beast to handle for me, on top of all the mental and emotional things that were happening with me and my students. And just, you know, the technology learning was an interesting feat as well. And then you also have what Javier was saying and what Melody was saying too, where we can't go back to what we did before, because it almost feels like, why would we want to push certain things on these students when there's so much going on in the world that we need to talk about together, that they deserve to know that, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some things that just seem so, you know, inconsequential compared to climate change. There's things that just seem so not even important compared to, you know, talking about how much Black Lives Matter. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's, there's, that's been something as well. So I think my teaching like has changed a lot, but I'm also wanting to be very cognizant about not wasting the students' time and not worrying about trying to fulfill this curriculum quota or trying to get this done and cross it off the list of things that are you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know, I feel kind of bad saying that, but there are some things that it's like, well, what do you, we're together for an hour. We're together for an hour lesson. What do you want to do? What is in your heart to play right now? What are you, you're having a bad day? Let's talk about it. Put the instrument down. You know, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm putting on you. It's about you and how you want to react to the world, you know? So,
yeah.
I will also stop talking. But yeah, that's how
Victoria,
this feels.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you mentioned a little bit about time and how you spend time. And I think even the concept of time has changed.
Yesterday, for sure.
A few friends, one of my friends said that 2020 feels like 5 years rather than 1 year. And I think just from a cultural perspective as well, the concept of time, I think in American culture, as somebody who didn't grow up here and is kind of in it and experiencing it from that perspective, I think there's an emphasis more on the quantity, like how much we produce with the time that we have rather than the quality, the experience that we're having whilst we're producing the thing. and even like just what's being on time, how we use our time. I don't know, we're all like drinking coffee so that we're awake and all. Let's just, I mean, yeah, we can. And I'm not against the coffee drinkers. I support coffee. but I definitely think it shouldn't be as a tool to like be awake. If you need to sleep more, then take more time to sleep. And let's, I think there should be an emphasis more on the quality of our experiences. And with that comes a change in how we spend our time. Like how present are we doing the things that we do? With that, I want to throw this question at Andrea from the administrative perspective, because you said you would dive deep into, maybe we can go into the practicalities of what it looks like. How are you kind of thinking about time and the goals that you want your program to achieve, specifically with this pandemic, knowing that, hey, we have no idea what 2021 January looks like. Are you navigating it from the perspective of we want to be there by January, or more of how can we use this time to be most beneficial with a pandemic? Like, how are you navigating that from the administrative perspective?
I imagined navigating, and I imagine me like swimming, and you know when you're like swimming but then and you have to go out for air, but like then sometimes it doesn't work, so you're like that's how I'm navigating it.
Ooh, good analogy. I exactly know what you mean.
I when I was in swimming class, I never got the like, okay, move the arm and then go up for air. I couldn't do that. But when I see people do it, I'm like, wow. So
magic.
Melody, I think when you speak, it's just like a garden starts growing. So I appreciate your questions. And that very interesting question, because when Victoria was talking as well, I think as I talk with some of you frequently, that there's like the student, we want to do education like student center, right? But then there's so many things pulling us away from that. From the administrative side, I have to respond to an executive director and the board and donors. And so my vision is, let's learn, like Victoria was saying, kind of like, let's learn what the students want to learn right now. There's a lot of energy spent when we're like, you have to learn this by this time. and this is where we have to be by this time. Cool. If we are in person and the students are getting the instruction they're used to, cool. We can set, you know, it's not like having lower expectations, but it's like you said, adjusting the expectations. And yeah, I just find it particularly difficult to make my vision come true. because yeah. I am pulled from so many places.
Right.
And then I have to communicate with teachers. Hey, like, hey, mm-hmm. let's do this. And then realize mm-hmm. that, like, I think Victoria said to one of these days of what actually happens in the classroom is something totally different to what we,
yep.
you know, we plan
every
where
time.
We want to. Yeah.
Mm.
And so I think I'm still navigating that. That's why right. I'm stressed out because
yeah.
there's a vision and then there's like what other people expect from you, from the
yeah.
leadership. And then ultimately the people who get most affected is the students, right? Because it's like
yeah.
a trickling, is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
Like a trickling effect that,
yeah.
You know, it's not clear for teachers, and then it's not like clear for students, and then things like that. But I think the beautiful thing is that most of the time teachers are so flexible, or let me say adaptable. And so I think maybe we can make a whole episode about this of like what is a good teacher in our opinion. But for me, a teacher is
hey.
a person that can connect with the student, even if, like you, Victoria, again, oh, I'm quoting Victoria all the time. You can have this whole plan and then you get to the student and you see that they're like not responding to you very much, or you're like, yeah, let's take our instrument out, and they're like, okay, you know, and like really slow and
fine.
And then you're like, okay.
Eye roll.
All the eye roll. Well, yeah, I think I don't have students eye rolling, but that's a biggie. And then you're like, okay, there's something going on here. Like, it's like mm-hmm. trying to, again, with the garden, like trying to grow these flowers, but the soil is like dry, so nothing is going to happen. Even if you put the seeds there, it's not going to happen. And so
mm-hmm.
for me, yeah, a good teacher is someone who like yeah empathizes with that and be like, oh, something's going on with this student, so let me back up and like
mm-hmm.
you said, let me find some words or some phrases that they can explain what's
right.
going on with them. And I moved away from the administrative stuff, but
that's fine too.
And
you're both
yes. Yeah, actually I'll be teaching a class for younger students. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay, the babies.
Definitely.
So it's like kind of having to learn. It's, I feel like teachers have to, maybe some people have it naturally, but I imagine that there are teachers who are very trained in like plan a lesson and execute that lesson.
Yeah.
Especially like in the generation of maybe teachers before, and now we have to be much more sensitive
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
how do we even ask a student over like Zoom, how's your day going? Like, how's life? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, yeah, that's interesting.
Yes.
I think
well.
That's one of the things, like, and I don't want to say like bad teacher, but maybe like a not as like an underprepared teacher is actually could be someone who has everything down, everything planned, is planning to teach this lesson plan because they spent 3 hours on it. And then the inability to be able to break away from that if things go awry, if it's not working today for the kids, if something happens, technology doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. Some people like cannot get out of that. Like some people cannot get out of that, but I planned this and we're supposed to do this third and we're supposed to do this fourth and fifth. You know what I mean? Like some people can't. Boom.
Right.
So
yeah.
like one of the things that some teachers like that need to realize is that it's okay to use your instincts. It's okay to take the time to really talk to your students. It's okay to, you know, overplan. I'm an overplanner. but that's only because I just want to make sure there's many different things to do in case 1, 2, and 3 are just out the window today, you know? So I think like, and I think people are realizing that a lot now, like you were saying, because the technology is something that could be like 1, 2, and 3 on your list of things to do for the day, but internet's too slow for it, or the Zoom won't let me do this, or something, you know what I mean? So like, I think, I hope people would be taking that and will use that in the future and be like, maybe I don't have to follow my lesson plan every day. I sure don't. I plan, and I love planning, and I love making a cool lesson plan, but it's very rare that, you know, we hit everything on the lesson plan, because that's just life. That's just humans. You're not going to wake up every morning and know exactly what you're going to do, because something's going to happen. Someone's going to give you a call. Someone's tire is going to go flat. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, it's okay to use your instincts, y'all. It's okay to breathe a little bit.
Every lesson plan should end with, note well, this might not work at all, dog.
Right.
Restrictions apply.
Keep in mind.
Yeah, just a written reminder that, hey, this might definitely not turn out how we want it to.
And I think that's the whole, that's, it could be in a lesson, but that's just the whole remote thing. That, as an administrator. No, like, just planning for... planning something is just might not go how you thought it would, because there's so many pieces that have to work together. But yeah.
Definitely.
This brings me into my next little segment of the conversation. I want us to just take the moment to think of COVID, as we call it, and in our heads and in our hearts, switch COVID from a pandemic that's destroying the world into a human being, a person. Let's pretend for a while that COVID is a person in our lives who is causing chaos and destruction. And coming from the standpoint that, you know, it's hard to love people sometimes, but sometimes the difficulty that arises from a relationship or friendship or just interaction with somebody else brings us lessons and allows us to grow. And so, like, what are we learning from COVID right now? What is COVID teaching us? What are the lessons that are manifesting from our experience in navigating this pandemic, from a personal standpoint and also from the standpoint of a teacher, student, administrator? Javi, I want to throw this question at you, because you did mention that, why did it take a pandemic to like think about the changes that we have to have, and how have you maybe been giving more attention to the things that you've been thinking about? Like, what has given you the courage to like, now I'm going to talk about these ideas that I've had? Or maybe you haven't done that at all and you're still like on the fence about it. What are your thoughts about that?
What a awesome thought exercise. That's a hard one. It to me seems like maybe like an abusive relationship, in a way, right? And you know, listening to a lot of, you know, these kind of life coaches and, you know, internet psychologists and stuff like that, kind of come into this understanding of, you know, we have these childhood moments of abuse or neglect, you know, in our childhood, and then we grow up without having been fully healed from those things, and we get caught in these patterns, right? Because we felt like whatever it was, that abuse or that neglect, hardly anyone escapes childhood without some kind of pain, right? But we kind of normalize that and say, oh, wasn't that bad? Like, oh, I had a good childhood, like I was able to do this and that, and we kind of downplay how that affects us, and that is why a lot of people behave the way they do, right? We can kind of always look back to their childhood and what happened. And then we tend to fall into these patterns of, you know, attracting people into our lives that allow us to reenact those same patterns that we learned in childhood. Until we come into, you know, we hit like rock bottom, whether it's in a relationship or something, and that kind of illuminates a lot of these things. Sometimes when you have to hit rock bottom, and then you start to realize like, whoa, that was messed up. And I feel like that's kind of, if COVID is a person, like that's how that relationship is going. Like, it is illuminating all of the abuse that we've been under as a human society. All of these things that we thought were normal. And when looking back on it and being like, actually, this is messed up. And kind of the way I thought about it too is like, you know, it was the great pause, right? Especially in the beginning of quarantine. And you can see here the pool of people trying to normalize things again. And there's this other force saying like, no, we don't want to go back to that, you know? And that can, I see that being personified as like, there was like this break in this relationship and like, you're taking time to pause and reflect and like, is this what I really want for my life? You know? And then like this other person is like, no, come on, it'll be different. It'll be great. Like, let's go back. You know, like, let's be together again. And you're like, no, I don't want that for my life. You know, I don't want to go back to that. I want something new. But we're so, I think, afraid of what we don't know. What's new, what we don't know might be there, right? Because we're like, well, I know this. And this might have been painful. This might have been abusive. But it's familiar. And I know what I'm getting. But it takes true courage to say, no, if I need to go into a new direction, I need to go into a new relationship with the world. And and resist that pull and say, no, there's gotta be a better way. And it's scary. It's scary going into the unknown. And you had to, didn't you? It's scary going to the place you haven't been before. But I think it's about trusting that you deserve better, which we're kind of gaslit and conditioned to believe that we don't deserve better. So believing you deserve better and having the creativity and the courage to do what Bettina Love calls freedom dreaming, and just say like, how can we build a perfect society or a perfect educational system, knowing it may never be perfect and it may take several generations to get to what would be ideal, but at least we can be part of that process to kind of like push it in the right direction, you know. So so that's kind of how I see this relationship with COVID of like, you're just like, oh, but we had so many, you know, had so many good times. And then your friends are like, no, but remember, they killed 200,000 people, you know. Like, it's we don't want to go back to those systems. So I just see it as like a great pause and a time of reflection and illumination. And an awakening and a courage to believe you deserve better. And a courage to dream of what can be. And as a humanity, we have so much creativity, so much intelligence to dream of what could be better. And I always want to bring it back to, you know, this being the Human Values Podcast, to bring it back to how do we put humanity at the center? And we're under so much pressure, right, to produce. And for education, that means produce grades, that means teach the content, because we can measure that. But the very act of measuring is hierarchy. You're saying some students are better than others. And there's no way to measure growth in humanity, right? Growth in humanity, which is really what's gonna save the world.
And the greatest things cannot be measured. Like, how do you say how much love you have for somebody who you care about? Like, From a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love this person? People do that all the time, but does your 10, is your 10 somebody else's 10? Like, really, right. it's not, you can't measure those things. And I think that the fact that we're trying to is where there's that disconnect, where something is broken in our system, our way of approaching education. And from a student perspective, trying to do college in the middle of a pandemic, mm-hmm. I think there needs to be, we need to do less. Like, people have to actually, the teachers, professors, and all the administrators, they have to reorganize their syllabus and say, we're purposely going to do less, give the students less, so that they have time to care for themselves, and they have time to mm-hmm. sit with the material that we're learning, and they have time. We need to give, going back to the idea of changing our concept of time, and connecting that with, okay, what am I learning from COVID? We need to give ourselves time to reflect. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do that intentionally, then it won't happen. And then we will miss the things that are right there in our face that COVID has placed a light on. Javi, I'm quoting you on that. Like, it's been illuminated for us, but we're closing our eyes instead of sitting with it. So I think there needs to be an emphasis of, let's do less but better. Mm-hmm. Especially yes. within, because in college, everybody's just doing too much all the time. Yes. I'm going to be real. Really? I have this one class that's at 8 a.m. I have way too many assignments. I'm like, now as a student, I have to care less about what I'm doing in order to get it done. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, in the past, maybe the me 3 years ago would have been like, I'm going to daybreak. I'm going to stay up until 4 a.m. and do this to the best of my ability. Yeah. And I've taught myself to care less, which is extremely challenging still, to care less about the quality of my work because I have to get this in on time because I can't fail this class because I don't have time to redo this class because I have to graduate on time. And it goes, it's like this string yeah. of do not do this as well so that you do it on time, whatever on time is. And I think that's that. The fact that I'm training myself to do that in order to survive the system is the problem. And so the people who have the power to change those things should change those things, because I don't have the power to. Maybe I do. Maybe I can start a riot outside on the green space. But anyway, yeah, I think going back to the question of what is COVID teaching me, it's teaching me to be more reflective and intentional and to pause when I need to, because often I'm just like going, and I need to, sometimes I need to pause, whether that's to sleep more or to just take the moment to sit with this feeling of pain or sadness or anger. And I think, it's important that we do that, that we pause and reflect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That remind me of trying to get through college. And it's, at the moment, I think I saw it as like, oh, I'm developing other skills of like how to get stuff done half. like halfway, you know, to like turn it in, and it's never a good feeling. It's never like, well, because you forget everything right away, and then you have this feeling that you didn't give the best to it, mm-hmm.
That's a trait of anxiety too. Is like, well, you're someone who wants to. And I'm this way too. I think we're all a little bit of this, where you want to do something well. You want to do it well. You don't want to have to be forced to like do it really quickly because you have no other time to do it and there's a million things to do. It's like, and that just like, what is the, not steamrolled, but like snowballs. There we go. Snowballs your anxiety even more when you're just like, oh my God, I am someone who likes to present my best work and share my best work with others, but I can't because I have 5 minutes to study for this test and I don't remember what's on it. Mm-hmm. So YOLO, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think from a Caribbean culture perspective, our concept of time is definitely like we call it, I'm forgetting now, island time, I think we say, where it's like people are always late, like an hour late. Like if something starts at 10 a.m., people show up at 11 and it's fine. Like the prime minister would show up for an event late and it's like, okay. But so somebody, an American coming in to maybe St. Lucia and teaching, I have a specific teacher in mind and it would drive her crazy that people would be late all the time. But the idea is, hey, we're here. When we get here, we're here and we're having a good time. And there's really, let's just sit with that and think that there is really nothing wrong with that because the fact is we're present and we're here together and we're having
you
a
made
good
it.
Time. And hey, we only get to live once. So once we do get there, I'm not saying be late for everything. That's not what I'm saying, dear listeners. But I'm saying that we need to, I just think that we need to give more attention to how we spend our time. There has to be that shift if we're going to live better lives. And with giving more attention to how we spend our time, we will wrestle with the ideas of injustices, and because people will have more time to think and reflect and build better relationships, and from all of those things we will realize, we'll have that light bulb moment. Maybe it won't happen, maybe it'll take generations of this is wrong, how we're doing this. And that brings me to my last segment of this conversation. How are we caring for ourselves within this crazy? I can share just a little bit. I try to intentionally pause. And right now, it feels like I'm compromising. Like maybe I sleep in one day and I miss a class. I'm compromising attending that class. But I think I have to do those things in order to keep my sanity. And I think I'm trying to pour more into the friendships and relationships I have in my life. I'm trying to be more intentional about processing things with people, spending time with people how I can, like whether it's watching Avatar Korra every Sunday night and telling myself, okay, I'm going to try to do all of my homework before then so I can enjoy this moment with my friends. I think it's important to be intentional about how we spend our time with other people, even if it's not in person, and also taking time for myself, like just rest, choosing a specific day to rest or do less, and drink tea instead of soda. I don't actually ever drink soda, but that's an example for other people who like soda. So those are some of my self-care things.
And you do podcasts.
It really helps.
Podcast equals self care.
It really helps that my classroom is also my bedroom now, and I can just, as soon as class ends, I can just like jump in the bed and go a few minutes until the next class starts.
Yes.
But I feel like, in the beginning, especially of this year, we're going through, it's almost like a regular school day, like the day is not shorter. The class periods are like 20% shorter. But it's for all intents and purposes, a regular class schedule. And, I would get to these points of just like, I'm answering emails. Yeah, here we go. And then by the time it's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I'm just like, I have this headache and like vision is blurring. And, Andrea helps me out with essential oils.
Nice.
Shout out to the essential oils. Because
they
helped me out today.
Oh my God, we have one right there.
Yeah.
We should get a sponsorship for the show. But it is helpful to take breaks and to not just say, okay, I have a prep period, now let me answer emails, but to get up and go and like talk to Andrea for a little bit, you know, get a tea. It is really helpful. I find a lot of peace being at home, so I feel like that is helping me a lot. Definitely having our you know, sessions to watch a movie. We're doing that with family, Andrea's parents, with my mom. We've got our Avatar and Korra group on Saturdays. You know, playing a little Pokemon also helps me too.
Minecraft.
Oh yes, Minecraft Saturday. So there's just like all a bunch of little things of connecting in the way that we're able to connect, and taking time for ourselves. It's really hard to find. Yeah, just like I'm just gonna read a book. You know, it's I think for me a little easier now because I'm just already home. So that helps. But also just remembering that I'm a human being and not a machine. And I think that's something that, you know, we all need to hear.
Yes.
And bringing it back to a place of humanity. And, you know, hopefully as we start to envision our new world, you know, I think I just saw something from Microsoft today announcing that they're doing flexible work from home initiatives where even if we go back to in-person society, there's still going to be flexibility for people who want to work from home. I mean, talk about that. That's good for the environment, like less people driving, more time with your family. And, you know, Melody, you were saying about having more time to think about social justice and ways to act. Also, should we be working so much? Shouldn't we have like time to be with our family and be with our friends and just live and be a human? Again, it's always coming back to just this quality of time. And can we just like be human beings? Should we have to dedicate to our job from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.? I don't want that world for my future children. I want us to work less and have a better quality of life. And then when we go back to work, like have a good weekend and have so much time with our family and friends, time for ourselves, have a great weekend. And when we come back on Monday to work, we're just like excited to go because we've had time to be human. You know, so
and the quality
I think that's all included.
Exactly.
Let us be human, and I think that that's what's going to make things more productive and creative for our society. Let us be human.
Let us be human. There should be a song. I don't know if there's a song.
Let us be human. New intro song coming to you soon.
Like a RuPaul song. Let us be human.
Nice.
Let us be human.
That's happening.
I felt that. Whoa.
I got you. That's what you get when you have a podcast with four musicians.
Hello.
They're like, song break, wow. Oh,
Fearness Pierce, though. Yeah, Hyatt, I feel you. And I love those breaks that we take. Sometimes, like I tell y'all, I get overwhelmed. And then I'm like, okay, let me go like say hi to Javier for a second. And take breaks. Personally, I've been switching. I initially planned my days here at home to like work from like 8 to 4, if so that I can be like done by 4 p.m. you know, like with my job. But the first days I did that, I just was totally exhausted. I was getting nauseous, like headaches, and I was like, this is not gonna work. So then I like switch up, like, okay, let me work for a block of time, do play violin for like 20 minutes and then do other stuff. And I'm still figuring it out, but I think I've gotten more comfortable with not having everything ready when either I said I was gonna have it ready or when someone asked me to have it ready. So I'm a, what is it, instead of saying perfectionist, I'm a detailed-oriented person. So again, yeah, like I want to have like a good thing to give and I feel bad when I like can't meet a deadline or something. And so, knowing that if I would like stay up like all night, probably I could get all that stuff done. But I'm like, I'm not gonna do that because that's not what I want to do. How I want what I want to do.
You are a human.
Yeah, I'm a human, and I want to respect my time to just relax. And so I think that's been one.
Yeah.
And trying to be more honest with like how I'm actually feeling and if I need more time for something. And saying no, I think it's something that I'm still working on. But I know I put on myself a lot of things to do, but also... I have a hard time saying like, no, I can't do this. It just feels for me that I'm like rejecting someone, which is not, it's just like a respect for yourself, for your time, and for what it's a priority for you. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Melody, because I'm following a lot of like Costa Rican oh my God, how do you say that word?
Entrepreneurs.
Okay. And this thing of like, yeah, doing less but with better quality, and we can be more effective and more creative and more have better results if we like minimize the many things that we do. And you can ask yourself, okay, where can I give my most impact? You know, like, where can I be most helpful? Mm-hmm. What am I really good at? And how can I just make time to do that?
Yeah.
And so I've tried to get out of some commitments, or not commitments, but of some like groups that I was in or something, just to like start making it like less things to do and just focus on what I can have the most impact with. Yes.
I think I want to do a little shout out to you guys, because I feel like self-care is like super hard for me, especially that internal monologue thing. Like on the outside, I'm like, hey, you know, Victoria looks like she's doing pretty good. Yeah, doing pretty good. But on the inside, it's like,
wah!
Wah! Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like, what? Yeah. So, we can get into that when we talk about our inner monologues on a different episode or something. But I wanted to shout out to you guys, because I feel like, and kind of going back to like, what has COVID kind of taught you, or what have you realized with COVID? I have been able to spend a lot more time with you all than when we were all busy in the pre-COVID world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just feel like, and maybe this is with you guys too, or maybe not, but for me, I feel like I'm my best self and my normal, like, there she is, self, when I'm with you guys. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? But like, yeah, like you, I don't know, all of you are so inspiring in your own ways, and we all have like kind of like similar views, but different like thoughts about those views and different ways we express ourselves and different ways we express our thoughts and how we're feeling. And I just like, am just floored that I am, you know, in such an amazing group of people. So I feel like you all help me a lot with my self-care, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to like up my self-care game, because these people are so awesome. Like, what am I trying to say here? long story short, you guys inspire me a lot and inspire me to be the person who I want to be all the time. And yeah, so I really love you guys.
Or the love person you, Victoria. Who you are, that's who waiting you? To
yes.
manifest
bloom.
To be.
No, man.
Yes.
Come out.
You are that which you want to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I always want to share with everyone. I sometimes use the word transformation, and I just always want to say that when I talk about transformation, it's similar to the caterpillar and the butterfly. The caterpillar was always meant to be the butterfly, but has to go through that cocooning phase. Actually the body of the caterpillar disintegrates and reforms. And then the process of pushing out of the cocoon is painful. And if someone tries to help, if a human tries to help, the butterfly dies, because they, through the pain of breaking out of the cocoon, is how they get the strength in their wings. So that process is painful, but it's how we become the butterfly. And you know, we all go through that moment, and it's beautiful that we can inspire each other to, you know, come out of the cocoon and spread our wings. And as I'm saying this, maybe this is what the world is doing now with COVID, is we're all in this cocoon, and it's painful, and coming back to in-person society is going to be painful. I think that hopefully it'll be something different and more beautiful and more free when we do come back.
Cocoon 19. Oh,
beautiful. Cocoon 19. We're going to be some pretty sweet butterflies, man.
Yes.
Our wings are going to be awesome.
Yes.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, with that, I would like to just pass it on to Andrea to close us up. Beautiful conversation. Thanks to our listeners for being here.
Thank you, Melody. Always setting the stage for great conversations. Thank you, all of you. I hope you're taking care of yourself in whatever way that is. Like we hear frequently, or you might have heard it or not, self-care is not only having a bath, a bubble bath, and and candles and whatever, but that sometimes it looks like I read today, self-care might look like you know, completing that task that you've been putting to the side, or ask yourself, why am I putting all this stuff to the side, or what am I procrastinating, or why am I like not doing these things, and being compassionate about like what comes out of that. If it's like, well, I'm just really tired and I can't do all this stuff, cool, then you're like, okay, I'm gonna do whatever I can. And so encouraging all of you, but also ourselves, of new ways of like what self-care looks for us. And yes, have that bubble bath, of course, with some book, you know, like the typical picture of like the book and the wine and the bubble bath, which I think is nice to have, and to prepare as well for the winter season, like I talked with you yesterday, of what, how are you going to prepare for these months that are going to be cold, and that we are already inside our houses, but we'll probably spend more time inside. So how are you going to prepare for that, so that you make sure you stay happy and healthy and surrounded by good people, virtually or in person if you can. So
yes,
thank you all for your knowledge and your wisdom. We're going to end with one more wisdom nugget from Victoria.
Ooh, here we go. So the practice guide for this week is, look at that, relating to gratitude for teachers. Ooh. Yeah, we love you all. And obviously that's in the universal human value of love, our sub value of gratitude for teachers. So our thought of the week is from Malala: one child, one teacher, one book, one pen can change the world.
True.
And the objective with this sub value is to uplift the teachers in your life by showing patience, compassion, and understanding. And especially if you're a teacher, show that to yourself as well. We are so thankful to all of the people who have taught us and who continue to teach the world. So we gotta uplift the teachers and administrators of teachers in our lives. And the students, of course. Hey. Okay. Anyway. So that's our section of our practice guide this week. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
And if you'd like to sign up for the practice guide, you could send us an email, humanvalleysclub@gmail.com.
Tukutaka. Tukutaka. And message to your teachers or whoever.
Yes.
For you to work with. Mm-hmm. Little love. All right. I think that's the end for today. We'll see you on the next episode. And from now till then, make sure you follow us on social media at Human Values Club on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and our YouTube page, the Human Values Club. Send us an email if you have anything that you want to share with us. And the best thing you could do right now is to take care of yourself and share this little wisdom nuggets with whom you love and who you're around. So thank you for being with us today. I hope this was inspiring. And if you all can say this with me, love yourself, love the
love world.
The
world. Yay.
Next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.